Praise the Lord. I love those old hymns that have a message, have a meaning, and stir us from the inside out and not from the outside in. Thank you, Seth, for leading us this morning. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, to a very familiar passage of Scripture that probably a number of you may even have memorized, and that's Proverbs chapter 3 this morning. Proverbs chapter 3. I want to be very practical and helpful today, totally change the message. Of course, today we were to honor our widows and widowers and to have a special recognition of each one of them today and handing out a flower and having poems and so forth for them. And we just decided not to do that today. We're going to postpone that. That will be taking place whenever we find it appropriate then again in the schedule. I had a message today already designed as well regarding bitterness as our study through the book of Esther. But again, I thought it most appropriate. I really wanted to touch on this subject of trusting the Lord in the midst of trials because what I have found is almost a false sense of guilt, and especially as we're speaking of the present trial that we are kind of collectively in. There are individual trials that sometimes you bear, and maybe you bear alone. No one even knows you have that trial in your life. Maybe no one knows of the heartache, the struggle that you're going through. And then there are other things like this that we almost enter into as we do a nation and understand the trial there. But I think sometimes we have a false sense of guilt, and are we failing to trust the Lord when we're being precautionary? If you're a grandparent, do you fail to trust the Lord when you hear the grandchildren are coming over and you move some of the fine china up a little bit to another level? Are you failing to trust the Lord, or are you being wise? And you say, well, no, when you put it that way, I stop and think about it. It's just a little bit of wisdom. If I know the little ones are coming over and I know this is fragile and we don't want it broken, we're going to put that to a level where the children can't touch it, and we don't see, well, that's not trusting the Lord. Leave it there on the table, let the child get a hold of it, that'd be trusting the Lord. No, I think we recognize, no, being precautionary is also something wise for us to do. So sometimes I think we find ourselves almost in this, boy, I feel guilty, like I'm not trusting the Lord by taking certain precautions. Let me remind you of a story found in the New Testament. We won't turn there, but the Apostle Paul was a journeyman preacher, and he was establishing churches, and one of the areas he was in was an area called Thessalonica. And he would eventually establish a small work there, but while he was there in Thessalonica, predominantly from Judaizers, he was being very much persecuted. They sought after the life of Paul, wishing to bring him to the point of death. And of course, in many of Paul's journeys, he was stoned and mistreated. But on this occasion, the other apostles, fearing for his life, decided to remove him from Thessalonica, sparing his life while there and taking him on into Berea. Well, you could say, well, they weren't trusting the Lord. Well, was it a lack of trust, or did the Lord give wisdom? Again, I want to help us because I think there are times, not just in a situation, I don't want us to think this is just a virus sermon, okay? And the only reason we talk about things like this is because of, but it does kind of preempt it a little bit because we can get into those kind of things. Am I really trusting the Lord in a false sense of guilt? Again, this might be a job situation. This might be the needing to purchase a new car and so forth. Again, I think sometimes we really question when we're trusting the Lord, and especially in the midst of trials. I want to talk to you today about trusting the Lord in the midst of trials. Let's begin by having a word of prayer. Dear Father, as we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are so thankful for your word. It helps us. It gives us direction. It gives us understanding. It even helps us to identify what it means and what it looks like to trust you. And I pray today you'd help me to be really practical, that the points that I bring out in this message would be questions that would stir us to thinking and get us, the illustrations would help to clarify what it looks like in our lives. And we would walk away from this message today, Father, with the intent I think you've guided me to is helping people understand what it is to trust you and where advice is helpful and where it comes in and how are we to live our lives, especially in the times of trial. So lead us, help us to be help through this message. And Father, again, bring us to the rock that is higher than I. Lead us to a total dependence upon you and on your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Again, Proverbs chapter 3 has become a very familiar passage of Scripture. Is often memorized in Sunday school classes and taught in vacation Bible schools, and something that I turn to kind of quite regularly as a Christian. It's not just a child's passage. It's not just for someone that's young. I think it is tremendously helpful. And I want to answer several questions, and the first being this: what does it mean to trust in the Lord? I mean, what does that mean? What does that look like? And so what I want us to do is go here and just look at these verses here initially. Proverbs, beginning with the fifth verse of chapter 3, where it says, "Trust in the Lord," look at this, "with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." What the admonition here of it is this trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, giving Him our all. The word trust actually here has an idea of being confident in, to be finding a security in. And so what we are doing somewhat, maybe as the disciple John leaned upon the breast of the Lord, we are just leaning totally upon Him. We are finding ourselves just trusting Him, finding our security in Him. Our confidence is in whatever the Lord is saying and whatever the Lord is leading us through, He is going to take us through that trial. But also goes on to say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. I kind of began to search that out. What does that mean? What does that look like? What do you mean, don't lean on our own understanding? And it's really an idea of self-confidence. Sometimes there's merely having wisdom by gathering information, but I don't think that's what this verse is really talking about. I think this verse is talking about an unjust self-confidence. The Bible even talks about if we trust in ourselves, we're a fool. Look down, and the reason I say that, look then at verse 7, where it says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." So the idea of trusting in the Lord with all thine heart and leaning not unto thine own understanding is really trying to bring it across. He's going to really bring it out in reverse in verse number 7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And so what he is saying, and by the way, the word evil there can mean affliction, can mean trial, can mean struggle. It doesn't just mean sin. It can mean that as well. And so the idea here is, as a Christian, I shouldn't just be self-confident. Nothing's going to happen to me. I'm all right. I know what I'm doing. I don't need, and almost like I don't need to ask the Lord. I'm just going to do what comes natural to me. By the way, Christian, that's foolish of us to act that way. As a Christian, we are not to be taking on and just saying, you know, I don't need the Lord with this one. You know, there are times we go out in our lives and we think, I don't need to call over the boss. I can handle this on my own. I don't need to ask this coworker. I don't need to ask someone with advice. I can tear this mower apart and put it back together. I don't need the expert to tell me how to do this. But then there's another thing when I say, you know what, I don't need to ask the Lord. I can just kind of handle this on my own. I think that's what Proverbs is warning us here about. So that trusting in the Lord is relying upon Him and getting our confidence and our security from Him. So listen to these other verses found in Proverbs. "He that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." That's interesting. The very next verse goes on to say, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." So again, Proverbs chapter 28, verses 25 and 26, again, states the same principle over two verses. If you trust in the Lord, you're going to be taken care of. But if you rely totally upon yourself and your own understanding, you're going to look like a fool. It's a foolish thing to do. So again, as a Christian, we really need to then take things to the Lord. So what does that look like that if we're, our confidence in ourselves is shaken and our trust in the Lord is increased? Well, let's read verse 5 right into verse number 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways do what? Acknowledge him. Well, what does that look like? What does it look like to acknowledge the Lord? Well, the best way that I know to describe it is simply by the word prayer. I acknowledge the Lord. I acknowledge my need of the Lord. I acknowledge my dependence on the Lord. I acknowledge that I'm trusting in the Lord when I say, you know what, this is something I need to pray about. I'm not just going to take this job based on the fact it's good salary, good benefits to go with it, good vacation package. I want this. No, I'm going to say, wow, that looks good, but I need to pray about this. I'm not going to buy a car based on, boy, I like the color. Motor looks clean. Boy, seats aren't stained. Can tell my kids haven't gotten in it yet, you might say. And, the car looks good. I like it. It's stylish. No, I'm going to say, boy, that car fits the kind of things I like, but before I buy it, I want to ask the Lord to guide me here. And so again, I think what we need to recognize then when we know we're trusting the Lord is when we have information, we have things maybe even we like lined up, but then we say, you know what, in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge Him and let Him direct my path. Again, as we are in the midst of a trial here as a nation, we can take the precautionary measures, and we have this morning, non-shaking of the hands, not passing of the offering plates. That isn't a lack of trusting the Lord. That's just taking the normal precautions and at the same time asking the Lord, number one, to give us wisdom, number two, to help to keep us healthy and help to keep us well. So again, there's the combination here of what that means to look, you know, to trust in the Lord. Again, is trusting in the Lord just something that's, I'll call nebulous? What do I mean by that? It's kind of vague, it's unformulated. Is it kind of subjective? What does it mean to trust in the Lord? I hope that you believe in creation, that God created this world. And this is my belief. Let me share it with you. This is my belief that God created this world over 6 days, and they were six literal 24-hour days. My belief, I trust that. Were any of you there when it happened? Let me ask you that question. By the way, it's not an absurd question, were any of you there at creation, because the Lord asked that to what Bible figure? He asked Job, were you there? Were you there when I created this? Were you there? So it's not an off-the-wall question to ask, were you there? No, none of us were there, of course. So what are we trusting? Are we just trusting it's there, so I guess God had to create it? Or are we trusting that God told us He created this world over 6 days, doing this on day one, doing that on day two, doing that on day three, even detailing what He did on those days, and the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And you say, well, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. By the way, you're twisting that scripture to say what you're trying to say. And the other thing to remember is the Lord says, as I labored for 6 days and rested on the seventh, I want you to labor for 6 days and rest on the seventh. Are you going to work 1,000 years before you take a break? And you say, no, that's not at all what I'm going to do. And again, the idea here is, what am I trusting in? I'm trusting what the Lord said to be true. It's not just nebulous. I'm not just thinking the Big Bang, believing the Big Bang theory is nebulous. It is vague. It is unfounded. It is undocumented. Again, what about salvation? Would you consider yourself a believer? You say, well, yeah, I trusted in the Lord. You know, that actually kind of has a double meaning. What do you mean when you say, I trusted in the Lord? Well, I think what we generally mean by that, I'm believing it's in Christ alone that I can get to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness which I have done, but it's according to His mercy He saved me. And God sent His Son to die on the cross for my sins. And through Jesus Christ and His sacrificial death, I'm trusting in that alone to get me to heaven. I'm trusting in God. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. And again, that's you could say that's kind of vague, but you know what? It isn't. Because again, I'm trusting that God said, this is the way to heaven. You know, when I knock on someone's door and I ask them about their certainty of going to heaven, and they may even say, I hope so. And then they say, well, because I'm hoping I've done enough good things to get there. Boy, that like the Big Bang Theory is really nebulous, isn't it? It is really vague. Because who told you just had to do enough good things to get there? Where did that come from? Because God sure never told us that. And so again, dear friend, if you're trusting on just doing enough good things, that is a vague trust. I want you to understand, trusting in the Lord isn't just something that's vague and isn't something that's just nebulous and not something that's just subjective. No, we're believing that what God has told us is true. And we can rely on that. We can lean on that. We can find security in that. We can find confidence in that. So what it is to trust in the Lord is this: to believe what God has said to be true. With that in mind, let's go ahead and move to the second point of the message. I could continue to go on and illustrate and develop that, but I think we're getting the point there. So then, am I failing to trust in the Lord when I follow the advice of others? Because I think this is where it really comes down to. Yeah, I feel like I kind of feel guilty when I'm listening to someone's suggestions or someone's advice. I don't feel like I'm trusting the Lord anymore. It's kind of this sense that sometimes I get. Well, let me ask you, is trusting the Lord in conflict with getting advice? Is getting advice against what the Lord has recommended in making decisions? Or is getting advice actually a form of trusting the Lord? Have you ever looked at it that way? Repeatedly, I've heard over the last years, I have it in text messages, I have it in emails, and I've heard it in conversations. Man, Pastor, I almost feel like I'm getting His advice, but am I then really trusting the Lord? Well, as I began to study that out, a concept of putting it together, I began to realize, wait a second, these aren't two different things that are conflicting. This is actually the Lord's plan and path for us to get advice and to follow advice while leaning and trusting in the Lord. Let's turn together to Proverbs chapter 12 for a moment here. So I guess I would almost take it a step further. If you feel like you might not be trusting the Lord by following someone else's advice, then do you think following someone else's advice or getting the advice from someone else is actually sin? Because it would be sin if you're failing to trust the Lord. Look what he says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto what? undue counsel is wise. Someone who gets advice, someone who gets instruction, someone who gathers information, he says, that's not a fool. That's not someone who's disobedient to me. That's not someone who's lacking to trust me. That's actually someone who's trusting me, because I'm saying, you know what you ought to do? You ought to go out and get some advice. You ought to go out and get some counsel from others. That's the wisest man speaking under the inspiration of the Almighty God. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, is penning through the inspiration of God that you ought to follow the counsel of others. That is wisdom. So, it's not just from the Lord that we get wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And he'll give it to us liberally, according to James chapter 1 and verse number 5. But God has instructed us to also seek counsel from others. Let's think of it this way. How would you take this parent if your child comes up to you and says, Dad or Mom, I've decided not to listen to you today because I'm going to trust in the Lord today. He has led me to make my decisions on my own today. Well, Mom or Dad might say, well, the Lord's leading me to take you to the bedroom and take you over my knee for a little bit today. That's the way the Lord's leading me. You say, no, a child really trusts the Lord by trusting the parent, because God has given the parent to be an authority over the child. And so you're not saying, boy, that child's not trusting the Lord because he's listening to the advice of the parent. You're saying, no, that child is trusting the Lord because that's what God... And I must say, to a child sometimes, the instruction of a parent must seem foolish. I won't give you some illustrations, but there are many out there. To a child, that must seem absurd. But God has said for a child to obey the Lord the Lord by honoring and obeying the parent, and so that is what the Lord has instructed. By the way, also, God has instructed us to be under those that are in authority, Romans chapter 13 and other passages. So we're not failing to trust the Lord when we follow the authorities that God has given to us. So when we ask this question, am I failing to trust the Lord when I follow the advice of others? No, I don't think it's that way at all. In fact, I think it's an evidence that we are trusting the Lord. Just listen to these other verses that I gathered also from the book of Proverbs. You don't need to turn there. But it says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain unto wise counsels. It says in Proverbs chapter 11 verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. So again, when somebody doesn't get any counsel, there's often a defeat at the end of that. There's often a loss at the end of that. But with the multitude of counselors, so not just getting one friend who's going to agree with you on what you want to do, but getting a multitude of counselors, there's actually safety there. That's from the wisest man. Again, under the instruction of the Almighty God. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 3 says, a prudent man, in fact, let's turn there. Proverbs chapter 22, I want you to see this verse. Because again, this could make direct application to the situation we are facing as a nation right now. And beyond that, to other situations. Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse number 3. A prudent man, that's a man who's discerning. That's a man who's cautious, who's wise. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and does what? Well, this is a little bit of what the apostles did with the apostle Paul. They saw the impending evil that could come upon Paul, the desire of the Thessalonians, or some of them, to kill him. And you know what they did? They didn't hide themselves, but they hid Paul. There are other times in which even the Lord slipped through the midst of them. because his hour was not yet come. Again, God, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't not trusting his Father. Hey, I'm just going to stay here because my Father can take care of me if he needs to. No, the Father gave him wisdom to slip through the midst of them and go on. The Lord at times delivered David by helping him run through the troop and jumping over the wall. Again, a prudent man foreseeth evil. A wise person sees there's evil impending and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By the way, the word simple means those who lack understanding. What am I saying by this? Well, it can make very specific analogies right now to where we live, where we see there are dangers about us with the possible virus. A fool just, I don't care. If I get the virus or not, it doesn't really matter to me. I'd be sick for a couple days. But then we don't think about the impact it might have on others living around us and so forth. They're like a simple person that just are passing on, just living life, and are punished because of it. Again, getting counsel isn't a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of wisdom. When Sarah advised Abraham, wow, a wife telling a husband what to do? God must be against that. God said, listen to your wife. She's giving you some wise advice. So what was God saying? God was saying, hey, trust me, listen to your wife. And so again, God was there endorsing the wisdom. What about Solomon, the wisest man? Remember, he was asked, you can ask for anything. What do you want? He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for the newest chariot on the line. He says, Lord, if I can have anything, give me wisdom. But when he was faced with two women and one child, he didn't immediately know whose child it was. And he didn't say, oh, Lord, would you please just show me, put a special sign upon the woman so I know which one is the true mother of it. He didn't do that. What did he do? He came up with a little idea. Okay, ladies, this is what we need to do. I can't tell whose child it is. I know it kind of looks like you, lady. And ma'am, a little bit the nose looks like you. It could be your child. I don't really know, so let's just cut the child in half. And you can each have half a child. Wow, it seems like a pretty weird thing to suggest, but it surely brought the answer he was needing. So again, wisdom, it isn't something that God's just going to strike you with, the wisest man in the world. God didn't just strike him with knowing who exactly was the mother of this child. But he sought for information and gathered it. What did the Lord teach about leprosy? I know we're not facing leprosy here, but he surely didn't teach, don't worry about the lepers, I'll take care of you. You can walk in the midst of lepers. By the way, let me ask you a question. If you walked in the midst of lepers, can God keep you from getting leprosy? Is your God strong enough to keep you from that? Amen, he is, right? But at the same time, God gave them the wisdom to avoid the lepers. And so I want us to understand, because sometimes I think we go on these false guilt trips of, boy, I don't know that I'm really trusting the Lord. I think I'm being paranoid. I think I'm being over-precautious. I think I'm this. I think I'm that. And I think we have to recognize, dear friends, sometimes trusting in the Lord is following sound advice, is finding wisdom and gathering it from others. Karen had left me a note. She had seen my notes of what I'd be preaching on, and she's been recently with the study of Esther. She's studied the book of Esther as I have, and then she went on to study Daniel. Of course, Daniel's also taking place in Shushan, and so she went on to study Daniel, and she was making note about the faith of these men. Their faith in God did not rest on the belief that God would perform a miracle, but that their sovereign God could simply be trusted. They didn't say, well, you do that, it doesn't matter. God will keep us from burning. They didn't say that. They didn't say God would keep, you know, we don't care if you throw Daniel in the lion's den. We know God isn't going to keep, allow the lions to eat him. They didn't say that. They weren't sure. But they knew they were had a sovereign God that could take care of them if he wanted to. And if not, he was a wise and sovereign God that they could trust. And so the sufferings then causes me to trust who God is, not just what he can do. And there's a big difference. And so when we get into these situations, we need to then just trust who he is. And by the way, in part, I think God in his leading, and I'm going to break this down at the very end, and I'm getting close to the very end. I'm going to break it down at the very end, but I think part of your praying when you initially acknowledge him in all thy ways and he shall direct thy path, I think one of the things you say, Lord, I want to gather some wisdom. Will you even lead me to the best people to ask? Because the temptation is for me, the human temptation for me is to go ask somebody that thinks like I do and does things like I do and lives on the edge like I do and likes the cars that I do. And so they'll be the one to say, yeah, you ought to buy that Ford Mustang. Yeah, because that's what I would want them to say. When you say, Lord, as you direct me my path, would you lead me to the right people to ask advice from? So I don't merely try to find someone to agree with me. So again, that's part of trusting in the Lord. I found a really interesting story. This is will lead me kind of into the next point. Point number three is, if I trust the Lord, will anything bad, quote unquote, ever happen to me? I was reading back in the book of Exodus, you don't need to turn there, in the 9th chapter. And it's during the plagues. And it's about, the Lord has announced that there is going to be a plague of hailstones. And so what he has instructed, and what we gather from the reading of this story, the children of Israel were instructed from the Lord, hey, get your cattle in. I find this really interesting. I laugh when I read the story. They're getting the cattle in. They're bringing them in their houses. Can you imagine what their homes look like? All of a sudden, they're herding their cattle in their house. And you know what? As you read that story in the 9th chapter of Exodus, if you want to look it up later, as you read that story, some of the servants of Pharaoh, so they're Egyptians, said, they're doing it. I'm going to bring mine in. And I can only imagine, I was thinking about this, I can only imagine it must be like the days of Noah. Look at them building that big boat. What's he thinking? He's building it up there. How's the water ever going to get up that high? And I'm sure that, you know, the Bible tells us that they mocked Noah for his decision. And I'm sure there were some that mocked. And the Bible says some feared what the Lord would say. But in the very next verse, it says some regarded not the words of the Lord. They didn't trust what God said. Some actually trusted, began to trust. You know what? God says he's going to do this. I believe it. I'm getting my cattle in. And while it might look ridiculous, let's bring them in the bedroom. Let's bring them in the living room. Let's bring them in the kitchen. But we need these cattle for our livelihood. And other ones laugh and say, you know what? I don't trust what the Lord's saying. And the hailstones began to fall. And it destroyed all the crops, and it destroyed all the vegetation, and it destroyed all the cattle. You know, at times, it boils down to this. Do we trust what God has said? Sometimes we have this false sense of security. I heard it a number of years ago, and I tried to dispel it as we did. A number of you remember we went to a number of Juarez projects. Do you remember that in Mexico? And at the time, the drug cartel and so forth was really kind of at a height. My family went. I stayed home. They're crazy for going. No, it wasn't that at all. My family went, and it wasn't like I thought, that doesn't matter. They can go because I know God will take care of them. And I heard people make comments like that. Hey, we're on a missions trip. We know God will take care of us. Did you ever hear the name Stephen from the Bible? What happened to him? He was what? Stoned to death. Wait a second. He was serving the Lord. He was doing exactly what God had called him to do, but he was stoned to death. You hear of the apostles, 11 of them are now what we would call martyrs. By the way, it's really interesting. The word martyr initially just meant to be a witness. We don't look at it that way. We think of it as in a different way, don't we? We actually think of it as someone who's probably going to give their life. They were a martyr. Fox's Book of Martyrs is not written just about people witness. It's written about people who gave their lives for the gospel's sake. And so the Lord had all these apostles at whom he had chosen, and all but one of them are martyred. Their lives are taken from them for the gospel. Peter hung upside down, form of an axe, and so forth. So again, we ask this question, okay, if I trust in the Lord, well, if something bad happens, then I must have not made the right decision. Or if something bad happened, then I must have not really been trusting him as much as I should have. And again, I think sometimes we get these false senses of guilt. We have to come to this realization, wait a second, what has God said? Let me ask you, can you pick up your Bible and take me to a passage where it says, if you follow the Lord, nothing bad will ever happen to you? You won't find this, but you'll find a verse like it's found in Isaiah. If you walk through the water, I'll walk through it with you. And if you have to go through a fire, I'll be there. And if a flood overtakes you, I'll be right by your side. You see, God can deliver us from anything, like the fiery furnace and the lion's den. But God's never promised that. But he did promise this. He promised us, number one, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And he promised, number two, that while they may be able to take your body, they'll never be able to take your soul. You see, dear friend, just because I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not into my own understanding, even if I acknowledge him in all my ways and he directs my path, that path may be through a fire. That path may be through a flood. That path may be through a storm. That path may be through a lion's den or a fiery furnace. But he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So that we can boldly say the Lord is our help. So again, when it boils down to trusting in the Lord, what does it look like? It looks like this. We seek for the Lord's help and guidance. We cast our care upon him, for he cares for us. We maybe look to others and gather advice and information for them. And then we go back to the Lord and say, well, Lord, this is the information I have. And so this is a direction I'm going to start going. And we'll use terms like this because it's even used in the Bible. Lord, you're going to have to close that door if that's not where you want me to go. You're going to have to open another door if Lord, you want me to go somewhere else. And we lean, we rely totally upon him. Would you turn with me in closing to Psalm 57? By the way, and this might be a good study for you sometime. Maybe right now you don't have a personal Bible study. Read through the Gospels and write down every trial Christ went through. God didn't keep his son from pain, discomfort, struggles, being rejected. I mean, for you it's a trial if somebody rejects you, right? For you it's a trial if somebody lies about you, right? For you it's a trial, so write those down too. Because the Lord faced many trials throughout his life. The Father allowed his own son to face trials and gave him the grace for it. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and is safe. I love what it says in Psalm 57. I just want to bring out two verses in closing. At first, he begins by asking the prayer for mercy. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul does what? My inner man, I am trusting you. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these. So while he's trusting the Lord, he still had calamities. He says, this is what I'm going to do, Lord. I'm going to hide. I'm going to hide in thee. And ultimately, we aren't trusting in our decisions. We ultimately have to conclude this: I'm trusting in the Lord to help me to make the right decisions. And that being said, look what he says in verse 7. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. So I boiled it down to this. Number one, you ask the Lord for wisdom. Any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Number two, then, you seek the counsel or advice from others that would help lead you in a way that would please the Lord. Then number three, after gathering that, you go back to the Lord. And you say, Lord, I've asked you to guide me in the counsel I got, and this is the counsel I got. And I kind of picture like Hezekiah when he just laid out the maps he laid out the letters from Sennacherib before the Lord. Lord, I asked you to lead me to the people, give me advice, and this is the advice that I've given. And so, Lord, I really am leaning this way. This is what the Bible says in two different Psalms, two different Proverbs. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So that's what we're doing. And a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his path. And so that's Proverbs 16:9. So you pray, ask the Lord for wisdom. You ask the Lord to lead you to the right people to get advice from you. Secondly, you get the advice from others. Thirdly, you go back to the Lord and say, Lord, this is the advice I've gotten. This is the direction I'm heading. But I ultimately want you to lead me. And dear friend, that is trusting the Lord. That is leaning on his advice that he has given from his holy word. Trusting the Lord and getting advice aren't in conflict. They're in agreement. And we can believe that we are fully trusting in him by following what his word has said. In this current situation we're in, that is the magnitude of all of us or the individual trials that you're facing, no matter what, let us trust in the Lord by handling it the way that he has instructed us to do. Let's pray. Again, then when you're trusting, it's in who the Lord is, and not what you expect him to do. Who would say, Pastor, as you preach this, I got to admit, that was helpful. There are some things that I'm facing, and maybe it's far beyond, and even way more important than the virus that we're facing as a nation, and really as a world. But there are some decisions that I'm facing. There are some troubling things, and maybe it's a result of the work having to be taken off and whatever it may be. And Pastor, I'm needing that advice from God's word today, and would you pray for me that I'll have wisdom in making decisions from here going forward? There are some specific ways God has helped you with this message, and you would like prayer throughout this week, just raise your hand at this point. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Boy, at least 8 or 10 in the small crowd that we have. Praise the Lord. There's no temptation taking you. You might put those hands down, but such as is common to man. Dear friend, do you know the Lord? I mean, when I talk to you about talking to the Lord and casting your care upon him, because do you know him? Is there anyone here this morning say, can Keith, as you preach, I don't know the Lord like you're talking about. I don't have a personal relationship with him. Would you pray for me? Don't embarrass me. Don't point out who I am, but would you pray for me? Just raise your hand. Let me acknowledge your hand has been raised. Anyone at all? Your Father, we come to you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We need help. We need guidance. We need to trust you and fully trust you. And so, Lord, lead us. Thank you for these verses that have instructed us what to do when we need counsel. Now, help us to follow your advice to us in getting wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you turn with me?